You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone You. In this week's news episode, we've got a lot to go over, and I'm going to welcome Haya Casella from Drone DJ to help us with this week's drone news. Haya, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Paul. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. We celebrated the expansion of our office last night at the New Mexico United game. So if I look a little tired, that is why. We went into the soccer game last night. That's what it was. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. And I'm excited to do this week's show. I think we got some interesting news for our listeners and viewers today.
I think we do have some interesting news for our viewers today. So speaking of the first news story for this week, well, this comes down to the Industrial Revolution expanding thanks to drones. The only thing is, we're going to have a lot of hiccups, and it seems like the very first hiccup to create an obstacle for this new wave of the Industrial Revolution has already happened in Switzerland. Haya, what do you have for us?
Yeah, in Switzerland, the Swiss Post, the postal service over there, worked together with Matternet, which is a Silicon Valley-based company right here in the U.S. They've been working together on using drones to make deliveries of medical supplies and blood samples and whatnot between hospitals in Switzerland. And up till early this year, they've completed about 3,000 successful flights. So this is not a program that was just started. They've done quite a number of flights already. However, they have had two crashes. One of them happened in January, where one of their drones malfunctioned and crashed into the lake near Zurich, the Zurich Lake. And the emergency fill system operated just as it's intended to. These drones are equipped with a parachute system that deploys, and then as the drone gently drops from the sky, it also emits a whizzing sound, as well as it has flashing lights. So the first crash in that regard worked just fine. The drone came down gently. Of course, it landed in that lake, so there wasn't really any danger for bystanders. However, since then, there's been a second drone crash, which happened in May of this year. And this one was a little bit more worrisome, as the drone or emergency system, even though it operated the way it's supposed to, the tether that connects the drone to the parachute got cut somehow. And that meant that the drone then fell out of the sky. Now, these drones are quite a bit bigger than, let's say, your average DJI Mavic drone. They weigh about 22 pounds, which includes a 4-pound payload. But this drone crashed and fell 50 yards from a playground with kids playing there. So you can only imagine that now, of course, a lot of people are very concerned. The Swiss Post issued a statement and really blaming Matternet for not having the perfect emergency system for these drones. And Matternet responded with a number of improvements that they're going to make. First of all, they're going to use metal braiding in these tethers so that you can't easily cut them. Secondly, they're going to use two tethers instead of just one. And also, they're going to make a louder noise as the drone comes down from the sky, so that in case you have bystanders or people, pedestrians on the ground, they will be alarmed or notified that this drone is making an emergency landing. It's not quite the news that we're hoping to see, of course. I mean, we're all looking forward to drones being used to make deliveries, and there's a lot of benefits for drones doing so. I mean, typically drone deliveries are much faster and more cost effective than traditional deliveries, but also they have less of an impact on the environment. So there are quite a number of benefits to using drones to make these deliveries. However, accidents like these, of course, aren't very helpful. Now, keep in mind that in road transportation, there, of course, are plenty of accidents as well. So it's not to say that drone deliveries have to be 100% safe, although aiming for that goal is, of course, not a bad thing. Anyway, Swiss Post said that they've stopped these tests indefinitely, so we do not know when and if they're going to resume. Of course, Matternet is aimed to resuming these tests as soon as possible, but I think first they need to come out with a mitigation plan and a better emergency system for these tests to go live again. So that's the latest news on drone deliveries out of Switzerland.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Haya, for reporting on that. It's interesting, again, that they're using quadcopters. You'd think to add redundancy to these systems, you would at least have some sort of hexacopter. That way, if one motor fails, at least you can have a spin down to the ground instead of a nice crash. Also, we learned from Indemnus how important it is to have a ballistic parachute. So I'm wondering how much that came into effect as well, because you mentioned the tethers for the parachute, but I'm also wondering how that parachute deploys, and I think that's also extremely important. But it is unfortunate, Haya, that as more and more people are testing drone delivery, that they're having some hiccups, they're having some problems implementing this.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, in this case, it's good to point out that nobody got injured or hurt in any way. So luckily, it all ended well. There aren't that many details as to how this emergency works in detail. So we're not quite sure if it is a ballistic system or not. The drone indeed is a quadcopter. And yeah, like you pointed out, having more motors and propellers might have been able to prevent this from happening, or at least make the crash more gentle.
For sure. Well, as more and more developments come from drone delivery, it looks like there is positive news out of a company from Sweden in this next topic for this week's drone news. The news out of Sweden this week from Everdrone, as they are attempting to overcome drone delivery problems like GPS negative environments. What do you have for us out of Sweden?
Yeah, so this Swedish company, Everdrone, they are using drones in between two hospitals. So basically for the same purpose as what we just discussed about Switzerland. These drones work differently, though. They do not have a GPS system on board. Instead, they use different sensors, including an ADS-B receiver, 360-degree camera, and drone telemetry. You may wonder why they would not include GPS on their drones as well. I mean, you and I, before the show started, discussed a little bit about this. I mean, if you're flying in a dense urban environment with high rises and stuff, then your GPS system might not work anyway, or may even throw your drone off. So in those environments, I guess flying without a GPS system would be beneficial. However, if it's more of an open suburban landscape, then I would wonder why you would not also throw in a GPS system. Even though you might be able to program your drone to do without, I don't think a GPS is either that expensive, heavy, or consumes that much energy that it's really beneficial to leave it off. I would think that maybe including that as well would be a nice backup system, or at least a confirmation that your drone is always in the right position. Now, the news that we have doesn't really go into that much detail to give us answers about these questions. It's definitely something I want to look into. But yeah, in Sweden, they're using drones to make deliveries between hospitals, blood samples, medical supplies, just like what we're seeing in Switzerland and here in the US as well. So drone deliveries are developing around the world.
Wow. It's very exciting to see that they are trying to come up with alternatives to GPS. In other drone news this week, Haya, it looks like there is some exciting new developments from DJI when it comes to FPV equipment, solving one of the industry's largest problems, which is all about video quality. And it looks like, Haya, that this new development, a new product from DJI, could actually have a sweeping change over the FPV industry as a whole. And I will just say, I'm really excited about this piece of news this week. But, Haya, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I think this is by far the most exciting piece of news this week, actually. DJI kind of surprised the drone world, I think, with this one. We found out late last week on Friday that when the FCC filings were made public, that DJI was going to come out with new products for the FPV drone racing world. They launched their products yesterday, and it consists out of four different items. So you have a DJI FPV goggle set. You have a FPV remote control. There's an air unit. There's a transmission module connected to a camera as well. And this package can be mounted on any device. So it doesn't even have to be a drone. It could be a RC car or a fixed wing drone. And the big difference is it provides you with a HD video feed rather than an analog video feed. So imagine when you're flying. I mean, you probably would have seen those videos on YouTube, or maybe you're a drone racer yourself. Typically, when you look through those goggles, the signal that you get has some static in it. It's analog. It's much lower resolution. It's much harder to see where you're flying. So especially things like power lines or other drones or tree branches can be very hard to spot. especially when you consider how fast these drones are flying. We had a chance not to fly these drones, but at least to see the difference between an analog signal and an HD signal. And it's huge. I mean, you get much more saturation. You get a much more detailed and sharper view. And what we've seen is that when these drones fly, there really isn't any real latency, first of all, but also the range is quite large. I mean, you can fly these drones now with this DJI system up to 2.5 miles. And even when the signal deteriorates, it becomes more pixelated, but it doesn't drop out completely. So you're maybe if you fly even further, it might be, but not what we've seen. I'm very excited about it. Ferdinand Wolf, who is the creative director from DJI in Europe, pointed out that especially for the larger drone race leagues, this might be really interesting. Because right now, if you're in the audience and you're either watching the action on the big screen, or maybe you brought your own set of goggles and you want to tune into one of the FPV drones, it's very hard to see what's happening and if your drone is in first or second place. I mean, it's all moving very fast and the signal just isn't great enough. DJI expects that now with an HD feed that these drone leagues will probably switch over to this system pretty quickly because they'll be able to provide much, much better footage to their audience. I think that's a big deal. And I think also once those leagues make that change, I think a lot of aspiring drone racers will probably want to make that change as well, because why wouldn't you want to fly with the systems that you would be using if you start to fly competitively? Apart from all that, personally, I've seen that difference in video quality. I cannot imagine that you would want to go back to an analog system once you get used to an HD signal. It's just that much better.
Yeah, I have so many questions about this, because the fact that they're selling a remote and HD goggles together with this system, do these systems work with certain flight controllers? I noticed, you know, DJI hasn't put out a drone that works for this. And for those of you listening who are not familiar with the FPV community, pretty much the FPV community is a DIY, do-it-yourself drone builders. I call them the tinkerers. Yeah. And we actually have a building class Haya, Night Fury, who was one of the world champion 1 year. He lives here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. He did a build class for us. So if anyone wants to learn how to build a racing drone, we actually have a class for that. And it's free for members, so you can check that out. Really, really helpful. That being said, honestly, after this came out, and the fact that we're building a race course here inside of our office, Haya, this is really exciting, because you're right about interference. And interference is a huge issue, because a lot of people haven't gone to HD previously in the FPV community, because whenever you had an HD feed cut out, it literally would go black or blue. You can't see anything. And, you know, as you're flying, you essentially go dark and you have no idea, you know, which way you're flying and whatnot. So the fact that they've created a solution that when it is starting to have interference and issues, it just becomes pixelated and staticky. It's not a full dropout. So I think that's something that's extremely useful for the industry as a whole. In addition, the fact that you get 2.5 miles of range, I'm sure you're going to have a much better quality feed. And you said it's broadcast quality. So racing could actually be more engaging. This could help the drone industry as a whole. But it's also interesting to see what's going to happen as DJI puts more and more products on the market and essentially saturates different points of the marketplace. Because, for example, is this a product that we can see on the Aeroscope system? Is this a way that DJI can now see all of those drones that are flying around? Because, like I said, this is a phenomenal advancement for the FPV community. It's just interesting about what role will this particular product play in the bigger scheme of the industry. Does that make sense?
I think it totally makes sense. I mean, I had a chance to talk with Ferdinand for quite some time, actually, after the main event was done. And we talked about how the Mavic 2 is already quite a step up from the original Mavic Pro in terms of the connectivity and how much more stable the transmission is, and you can fly it in all these tough to fly situations, and that drone performs really, really well. Ferdinand told me that this system that they're using now for the FPV set is way beyond that, and they can tweak and tune it in different ways. In this case, they tune it for low latency so that you have really, really fast response times. If they were to use this same system, let's say for a Mavic 3 or whatever their next drone might be, they can tweak it in a way that, let's say, your 4K video footage would be of higher quality, and maybe that would be at the expense of latency. But let's say for regular drone flying, the latency wouldn't be as much of an issue as it is for FPV drone racing. So Apparently, this is quite a step up. If you look at the hardware, the remote control that they now came out with looks very similar, if not identical almost, to the Phantom 4 and the Inspired remote controls. However, the inside, all the hardware inside is totally, totally different, and it's quite a step up, he told me. So, again, it's... yeah, it's DJI making its inroads into the FPV racing world. I think it's going to be a shocker for a lot of people when they first see the quality of this footage. And of course, it leaves us with one big question. Now that DJI came out with the goggles, the remote, and that air unit and camera, is where the heck is the DJI FPV drone? That's, of course, the question that's on a lot of people's minds. And I spoke about this with Ferdinand as well at the event. And I told him, like, hey, it's great. You come out with this package that makes a lot of things simpler. But people still need to get the frame, the props, the motors, and start building their own drone, and especially soldering as well. And like you said earlier, the FPV drone racing world is very much a do-it-yourself environment. And I think that the typical DJI customer might not be that kind of person. I don't know if they want to get their tools out and start soldering and figuring out how to make your own FPV drone. So what DJI is now going to do first is they're going to recommend certain components and put that up for sale on their website. So at least you know what hardware to buy that would actually fit and work with this new DJI product. But it still begs the question, like, how much longer is it going to take for DJI to come out with their own FPV drone? I mean, they are a drone manufacturer after all. So to release all these products but not come out with the actual drone, I think is very weird. And I would expect them to come out with a drone fairly soon, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something for Christmas. DJI has surprised us before, so... I wouldn't be shocked at all. Well, honestly, I have to say this is exciting, Haya, and I'll be picking one up myself. I think it's very cool, and I think it's a great addition to the product lineup. But again, the question remains is that will DJI launch a drone that works with this program? I will say thanks for telling us about being able to buy parts that do work with this system on the site. That is not something that I knew that they were doing, so I think that's extremely helpful. But it looks like, Haya, in this week's next piece of news, DJI launched one more new product that kind of flew under the radar. What do you have?
Well, this is not actually launched yet, but another FCC filing that came out the other day showed the DJI Osmo Mobile 3. And we had the one, we had the two, which was already cheaper, lighter, and better in many ways. Now they're coming out with a third iteration. This one folds up. Spins a full 360 degrees and is charged with a USB-C connection. It's also lighter. Now, when we saw the second generation come out, so they made it a lot cheaper. If I'm not mistaken, the DJI Osmo Mobile 2 is $129. It's going to be interesting to see how expensive the Osmo Mobile 3 is going to be. Foldable design, lighter, so it should be easier to travel with. The one thing I'm not quite sure of is that if you are a videographer or if you want to be able to take those panoramic shots that would require some kind of gimbal, if you're somewhat professional, I think you would opt probably for something like a Ronin SC, the gimbal that DJI recently relaunched. Or if you are looking for portability, you would probably go towards something like a DJI Osmo Pocket. So I don't know how much of a market there still is for the DJI Osmo Mobile 2 or 3 in this case. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, they improved the product. And even though we haven't seen any new drones from DJI this year, the company has been very busy releasing all kinds of products that expand their product line.
It's very, very awesome for, I think, a very unique audience. I think the Instagram audience who's used to using their phone will really actually like this product. I'm sorry that I made the mistake saying that they launched the product. I thought that they had already launched it reading your article, but good to know that they haven't launched it and we are expecting it soon. So in this next piece of news, Haya, it looks like BHP is saving millions of dollars per year by shrinking inspection times thanks to drones. So what do you have for us there?
Yeah, this is the mining giant BHP Billiton. They released a statement saying that they estimate that they save about $5 million per year using drones. Now, of course, if we just look at the money, then we don't consider the safety aspect. I mean, rather than just saving money, what might be more important is you actually don't put people at risk, first of all. But this article really points out that drones are able to do a lot of the inspection work in industrial complexes faster and cheaper than you can with manual inspections. Their company vice president of marketing says that drones cut down inspection times by 75% and making inspections on their freighter ships, for instance, only take 15 minutes. And you can imagine that for large companies like BHP, if you're able to use drones throughout your business, yeah, there's probably a lot of time savings that you can realize that way.
I mean, I think it's fantastic that yet again, more and more people are realizing the value that drones provide. But even still, it looks like in the next piece of news that we continue, you know, how drones are helping out and the value that they provide for not only companies, but for workers themselves. What's going on? What's going on there?
Yeah, this was an article in Bloomberg. You can find the link on Drone DJ to the original article, and there's even more detailed information in there. But basically, the main point is that drones prevent a lot of people from being in dangerous positions or work situations to begin with. And drones are being used more and more in industrial companies and construction companies, and it makes a big difference. Just to give you some numbers, in 2017, we had 166 US workers die because of being in confined spaces. So these are people that inspect tanks from the inside, for instance. And at times they die because there's a lack of oxygen or there's toxic fumes that are still in those tanks. And when people go in, they might not realize it. Sometimes those fumes have no sense, so you wouldn't even know. And even though, I mean, I used to work for Shell Oil back in the day, and the safety requirements are really, really strict. You always need to have multiple people in those kind of situations. But still, in 2017, that 166 people died in confined spaces is quite staggering. However, the number that's even worse is the number of people that die because of falling down from high or great heights. 887 people unfortunately ended their lives that way. And this article points out that in many, many of these situations, you might have used either robots or drones to do the work faster, but more importantly, do it much safer. And they have a number of examples. I'll read you this one. This is at Shell, for instance. So inspections of gas flares at Shell's refineries used to take days, says Randy Burrow, Shell's health and safety manager. To get workers close enough to the flame-spewing stacks to check pilot lights, the system had to be taken offline. Then workers were hoisted in a basket several hundred feet high to the top of the stack. And now drones can complete the inspection of a still burning flare, so it doesn't even have to be shut down, in a matter of hours without a worker ever leaving the ground. So that's one example. Another one is from AT&T. They have about 65,000 cell phone towers in the US, and some of them are as high as 1,000 feet. So sending people up there, of course, is very dangerous. Tower climbers are 10 times more likely to fall to their death than compared to construction workers. So this is way, way more dangerous than people working in construction sites. And the AT&T telecom giant said that they've used drones now to eliminate 5,000 tower climbs in the last 18 months. So just imagine the number of people that you don't have to put at risk because now you're using drones rather than relying on manual inspections. And I think you and I have already noticed this last year at DJI's AirWorks event, is that a lot of those industrial and construction and mining companies are realizing the benefits of drones. Sometimes it might be driven by cost savings, but I think in many, many cases, it's the safety aspect that actually puts drones to the foreground. And I think we're going to see a massive adoption in different industries for people to start using drones now. And as the last thing I want to add to this, actually, the FAA said that in 2018, there were 277,000 commercial drones registered. They expect this number to at least triple, if not increase five times by 2023. So just to give an example of how much of a growth rate people expect to take place.
Love it. Love it. We're excited. Hey, drones save lives and they save money. Why wouldn't you want to use them? It's the new DeWalt tool. It's not a toy. It's a tool. I love it.
Yeah, and that's the news I got for you guys this week. So I hope that's exciting.
It is exciting. Haya, thank you so much for joining us this week. Really excited to see what role the DJI FPV lineup plays. Also really excited to see how drones are saving lives and saving money, and also realizing how companies are trying to come up with alternatives for, you know, drone delivery and the next wave of the industrial revolution, as I call it. Well, Haya, thank you so much.
My pleasure, and thank you for having me on the show, as always.
Sounds good, Haya. Always enjoy having you on the show and look forward to celebrating your birthday this week.
Yeah, this weekend.
City. So happy birthday.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I'll see you in a matter of days. Awesome.
Sounds good. I just got a notification that my flight was canceled, so I'm going to have to work that out. But anyway, thanks again for joining us, Haya. And for everyone who's watching the show, if you have a question, go to askdroneu.com and upload that question. Also, don't be afraid to leave a comment below, whether you're listening on YouTube or whether you're listening on iTunes. We greatly appreciate you being here with us. And also, if you leave us a review, that helps other people find us as well. So, Haya, once again, thank you, sir. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks again for listening to another fantastic episode of Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.